Tuesday class, Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, April 26th, 2022, Psalm 25.
I don't know if you all realize it, but the man of steel is sitting right down here in that chair right there. You saw that movie. I know what that stands for. I thought you thought he was Jerry Calhoun, didn't you? No, not on your life. That's the man of steel from Krypton. Don't mess with him. That's all I can say. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Psalm 25, this great acrostic psalm. Human author, La David, David. And there are so many phenomenal truths. He is going through the last phase of his discipline, installment discipline, the Absalom Revolution and the Civil War. And as he writes Psalm 25, and as we get down to the last part of it, he has absolute confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he loves, that he will restore him, be victorious over the revolutionary forces, be restored as King of Israel, and he was. And he was given greater blessings than he ever had before. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that all that we have and all that we are is by your grace and your power. And as we assemble to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey, if we are living near the time of Christ's return, nobody knows the day or the hour, the rapture could take place anytime. But if you cut a tree down, you will see the shadow of it falling before it hits the ground. And I am convinced we are, should that fact influence the way we live. Well, the Bible gives us instructions that apply in any time period. Those truths do not change as the day of the Lord approaches. We live according to certain principles, and those principles do not change. However, even though God's standards do not change, the Bible does teach us to respect these times and to adjust our lives accordingly. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how to encourage one another to virtue love." Well, it says love as virtue love, agape. "Let us consider how to encourage one another to virtue love and grace righteous production." It says good deeds, but we know this. You've been here. Grace righteous production. Then, verse 25, "not forsaking the assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." Well, we see the day drawing near. What we do here five times a week is more important than anything else you will ever do in your life. And this is fulfillment of Hebrews 10:25. "Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together in a sound Bible teaching church, consistently and faithfully." And it says, all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, this ought to be a SOP for any believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. This is the absolute truth of the Word of God. This is a mandate to the royal family of God. And yet we have so many believers living in Satan's cosmic system, self-centered, selfish, arrogant, preoccupied with themselves, not only living in interlocking systems of arrogance, but interlocking systems of hatred. And they won't lose their salvation. They'll be in heaven, but they will lose out. And while they're here on earth, they will be miserable, miserable, miserable. And they will lose out on all greater grace blessings for all eternity. So you see, the Bible does have instructions to us as we see the day drawing near. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And that's a sound Bible teaching church, as is the habit of some loser believers in the cosmic system, but encouraging one another, and all the more, as you see the day drawing near. Where the New American Standard Bible says stimulate, the King James Version says provoke. Neither one of those are correct. Both are translations of a Greek word that literally means to encourage. Encourage one another to virtue love. Encourage one another to grace righteous production, impersonal love for all. And the best place where that is going to be accomplished is a sound Bible teaching church. During COVID lockdown, verse 25 became a rallying cry for many churches, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. This is fundamental. Politicians and bureaucrats seemed intent on shutting down churches, while many churches were just as intent on finding a way to follow God's word. These are mandates from God to the believer. It has always been needful and right for Christians to gather regularly in worship for the purposes of discipleship, encouragement, evangelism. Verse 25 says that this need will grow. It will grow in the last of the last days. It says to do these things all the more as you see the day drawing near. What day is that? The day of the Lord. That's the time period mentioned prominently in both the Old and New Testaments that begins at the time of the tribulation. This is especially interesting for us right now. The rapture will happen before the tribulation. So we won't see the tribulation itself. However, we can see signs that the day of the Lord is coming quickly. And that should have a powerful impact on our behavior. In such a time, we are to intensify our efforts to encourage one another in love, virtue, love, and faith, Bible doctrine. We are to bind ourselves to one another. The untethered, who are the untethered? Believers living in the cosmic system. They will be swept off. They'll still be saved. They'll still wind up in heaven. But their Christian testimony on earth will be weak and ineffective. They will lose peace. The joy of the Lord that should be giving them strength will be dampened by waves of guilt and discouragement. 2 Timothy 3 speaks of the last days as a time of peril, as people act in selfish ways. That's because they're in interlocking systems of arrogance. They're arrogant. They're self-centered. It's all about me, me, me. As a time of peril, as people act in selfish ways, sowing confusion and deceit. Verse 13 says, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul's answer was to encourage young Timothy, pastor, teacher Timothy, to continue in sound doctrine. Very few pastors fulfill that mandate. Continue in sound doctrine, teach sound doctrine again and again and again. There's nothing more important that you will ever do in your life than what we do here five times a week. Paul's answer was to encourage young pastor teacher Timothy to continue in sound doctrine, trusting the Word of God as his guide. And that is the lesson from the Holy Spirit for Christians of all generations, but especially for the times like these. Believe me, if I didn't believe the absolute truth of God's Word and passages like this, hell, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here tonight. I would retire, like a lot of pastors do. Retire. I'm not going, God's going to have to retire me. He can do that. I might do that while I'm up here. I'm retired. He can retire me anytime he wants. I'm 73. Most people retire now when they're 50. 55, retire when they're 60, 65. Every time I go to the doctor, he asks me, are you retired? And I say, hell no. Not retired. I'm not going to retire until God retires me. How old are you? I tell him, he goes, And you're still working? I said, no, I'm on vacation. My job is a vacation. I'm doing exactly what God put me here to do, and I love it. And I'll be here. Everything else is decaying and falling. The body is falling apart. Fortunately, everything falling apart except this little pea for brain up here. It's like a BB, this brain is like a BB in a boxcar, just rolling around in there. But still functioning with the spiritual gift to communicate truth. And I can retire. I know a lot of my friends retired. Well, one of my best friends I love so much, Andy Todd, God retired him. He's in heaven. I know a lot of other pastors that I went to seminary with, and they're all retired. Todd Kennedy's retired. Bruce Einsparr's retired. These men that I went to seminary with, Bruce Einsparr was the one that got together with Walke, head of the Hebrew department, and said, how about we do an index for Brown, Driver, and Briggs for our master's thesis? And Dr. Walke says, that'd be great. We need to have a book done on the BDB in index. We need to index Brown, Driver, and Briggs because most people can't even use it. So Bruce Einsparr got a hold of about five other guys, and I was one of them, and said, I got it okayed that it will count for your master's thesis if we divide up Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which has about 1,300 pages, divide it up between the five of you, and you will index this thing, and that will count for your master's thesis. A lot of guys do master's theses when they're at Dallas Seminary. It's a graduate school. And after they do it, they never use it, never read it. It's over, it's done with. The master's thesis of the index of BDB, I have used every single day while I've been here at Upland Bible Church in the ministry. I wore my index out. All the pages are falling out, and I got a new one. But I use that, and that enables me to get in the original languages and find out exactly what God is saying in the passage. When I got home after last week, Debbie said, wow, I can't believe you, in verse 13 in the noon file, David says his soul will spend the night. They didn't translate that. I said, well, I can't tell you how many things are not translated in your translations. Your translations are not inspired. The Hebrew and the Greek, Koine Greek and the Hebrew, and Arabic, that's what God breathed and inspired, not your translations. She said, I can't believe. I said, well, it's the word loon. Now, the ones who didn't translate it, they're loons. They're loony. They're the Looney Tunes. But you ought to get it. After all, it's not that far from lunar. Moon, night. Irene, good night. Irene, sleep tight. And don't let the bed bugs bite. I mean, you know. So that was my master's thesis, and I used that all the time. It's available to pastors everywhere, and yet, sad to say, there are men that have gone to seminary, had years of Hebrew and Greek, and they do not study from the Hebrew and the Greek. That's very sad situation. Psalm 25, we're going to start the corrected translation at verse 10. All the ways of the Lord, grace and truth. There's no verb there, and that's putting the spotlight on grace and truth. All the ways of the Lord, grace and truth, for the ones who faithfully keep His covenant. That's the Mosaic Law, is the first constitution of the client nation to God. And His doctrines, His solemn charges and mandates of the Word of God. Verse 11, the Lamech file. For the sake of your name, your essence, who and what you are, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, my entire life in the cosmic system, because it is great. David really screwed up, committed adultery with Bathsheba. She was married, so he murdered her husband, Uriah the Hittite. And he lived in the cosmic system, and he was actually on the verge of the sin unto death. He came to his senses, and he rebounded, got out of the cosmic system. The spiritual life at that time was the faith rest life. Got back into fellowship with God. When he got out of the cosmic system, that was it. Murder was over. That was it. Murder was done. Yes, he was guilty of murdering Uriah the Hittite. And that's worthy of capital punishment right there. And he was guilty of adultery. He had sexual relations with Bathsheba while she was married to Uriah. And that was over. Murder and adultery, that was done. He is in fellowship with God. He still sinned from time to time, and he had to provide sin offerings, and he did when he sinned, like we all sin with a free will. But that was over. For the sake of your name, your essence, who and what you are, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, my entire life in the cosmic system, because it is great. The main file. Who is that man? The one who fears the Lord. He, the Lord, will instruct him in the way he should choose. And then the noon file, and we're just partway through the noon file, verse 13. His soul will spend the night in prosperity and happiness. The noon file speaks of activity and capacity for life and love and happiness, as well as capacity for adversity. David is in the midst of the greatest disaster of his life, but David has capacity for life and happiness in the midst of this great disaster. David is in the fourth installment of this divine discipline, which is the Absalom revolution and civil war. And David has lost every possession he ever owned, all his temporal blessings in spiritual maturity are gone. But as a spiritually mature believer, he has the greatest treasure of all, the Word of God in his heart. And that gives him the greatest capacity for adversity. His soul, well, the word soul is nephesh, and that's the Hebrew word for soul. Psuche is the Greek word for soul. Third person singular masculine suffix, his soul is David's soul. Now the real you is your soul. And your soul temporarily lives in a human body called the skene, a tent in the Greek. However, the believer in Jesus Christ is looking forward to a permanent home, a resurrection body that his soul and human spirit will live in for all eternity. Our physical body is a tent, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. The real you, your soul, lives temporarily in a tent, the human body. So in our short time here on earth, we are all tent dwellers. Right at physical birth, God is preparing us for eternity by giving us a very temporary tent to live in, the physical body. God is saying, this is not your eternal home. This is only your temporary home. God has an eternal home waiting for the soul, the real you, to live in forever, a resurrection body. So God creates the real you, your soul, and places your soul in a very temporary home, a tent. God and His amazing grace allows this tent to wear out. And it's wearing out. And then He takes it down. And here we are all sitting here. All I can do is look at your tents. And they're all wearing out. Some wearing out faster than others. My tent's probably wearing out faster than all yours. And that 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man, our tent, is wearing out. And it is wearing out. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. How does that renovation take place? Well, by you doing what you're doing tonight, and what we do Wednesday night and Thursday night and Sunday in two classes. You assemble in a sound Bible teaching church and have our mind read the renewing of your mind through consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. And then, as this human body, this tent, wears out day by day, we step closer to our eternal resurrection body and our eternal destiny in heaven. And a very important part of the preparation for heaven includes suffering for blessing in the life of the winner believer. And we saw that in the rest of verse 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18. For momentary light affliction, and this always just, I get the biggest kick out of this. Momentary light affliction. Hold your spot. Do you know what the momentary light affliction is? Turn over to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number. Now remember, this is momentary light affliction. Beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He wasn't on drugs. He was stoned to death. Stoned to death. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I thought the worst of all are fellow believers. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? And who is led into sin without my intense concern? Now this, he calls, chapter 4, verse 17, for momentary light affliction, all of this suffering for blessing. See, you think you have... You know, I heard Billy Graham say one time, He said, I really don't think that I have glorified God while I've been here, because I look at all of the great believers and they all received suffering for blessing, and I have never come close to anything that these great believers received. They were great believers. Only the winner believers are qualified to have this great suffering for blessing. For momentary light affliction, suffering for blessing, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. This is crowns and rewards awarded at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify Jesus Christ forever and ever. While we look not preoccupied with the things that are seen, the things on this earth that are seen, but I am occupied with the things that are not seen. Jesus Christ is at home in his heart. For the things which are not seen, or for the things which are seen, are temporal. They're here today and gone tomorrow. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, that's where David is, by the way, and that's where Moses was in Hebrews 11. Winner believer. Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. By faith, by maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart, Moses, when he became great, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Who does he see? Jesus Christ. What is this? Occupation with Christ. He persevered through all the suffering for blessing because he saw him who is invisible. Occupation with Jesus Christ. God has a great system of suffering for blessing designed to prepare the believer, the winner believer, for heaven and all eternity. This suffering is a grace blessing from the Lord so that you can concentrate on God and His Word, especially occupation with Jesus Christ. Suffering for blessing for the spiritually mature believer like David provides for increased occupation with Christ, sharing the happiness of God, even in the midst of great adversity. The Lord Jesus Christ becomes more real to the winner believer through the privilege of suffering for blessing. And so it says, the noon file, his soul will spend the night. Loon, Hebrew word loon, it means to spend the night. That's what the word means, to spend the night. His soul will spend the night. And the night refers to the maximum pressure, maximum adversity of the Absalom Revolution and Civil War. It refers to the suffering for blessing that the spiritually mature believer is facing. And then the preposition beth is in, and tov is the word that is intrinsic, that which is intrinsically good. It is great prosperity and happiness. His soul will spend the night suffering for blessing in the midst of the Absalom Revolution and Civil War in prosperity and happiness. David is a spiritually mature believer. He loves God. He loves the Word of God. Bible doctrine is the number one priority of his life. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. As a spiritually mature believer, David has enjoyed phenomenal temporal blessings, spiritual blessings, blessing by association, historical impact, suffering for blessing. In the time of the historical crisis and national disaster of the Absalom Revolution and Civil War, David has lost all of his temporal blessings. But in times of historical crisis and national disaster, The spiritually mature believer can lose all temporal blessings. No big deal. But he continues to have great spiritual blessings. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ, sharing the happiness of God. He still has the greatest treasure of all, maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. He is still alive and blessed by the grace of God to make good decisions to glorify God to the maximum. His soul will spend the night suffering for blessing of the Absalom Revolution and Civil War in prosperity and happiness. And his seed shall inherit the earth. That's interesting. Sunday, we were in Romans 4 studying Abraham, and that we had the seed of Abraham. And now we are in Psalm 25 and we have the seed of David. And we noted that in Romans 4, the seed of Abraham, it's used three ways in the Bible. It's used for Jesus Christ. It's used for Abraham's physical seed. And it's used for Abraham's spiritual seed. And here we have the seed of David. And here it's used in a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. The near fulfillment is Solomon, his son, who will reign as king. Far fulfillment is the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ over planet Earth at the second advent. So we have the conjunction vav used as a continuative vav, correctly translated an, and then in the Greek the word is sperma, in the Hebrew it's zerach. Z-E-R-A-I, zerach. One, literally, zerach means the seed for crops. Seed for crops, plants. Two, figuratively, it means semen, offspring, descendants. Third person singular masculine suffix, his seed is the seed of David. Three, this is the seed of David, which is anointed to reign as king. The seed of David, anointed to reign as king. For this has both a near and a far fulfillment. This has both a near and a far fulfillment. Five. The near fulfillment is the reign of Solomon as king. The near fulfillment is the reign of Solomon as king. Six. The far fulfillment is the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ over all of planet Earth as king at the second advent as he establishes his kingdom on earth, the millennial kingdom, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ as the king of planet Earth, the seed of David. Seven. So again, point five, the near fulfillment is the reign of Solomon as king. Point six, the far fulfillment is the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ over all of planet Earth at the second advent. Seven, two sons of David and Bathsheba are in the line of Christ. Two sons of David and Bathsheba are in the line of Christ. Solomon, who will rule as king, and Nathan, who will never rule. So two sons of David and Bathsheba are in the line of Christ. Solomon, who will rule as king, and Nathan, who will never rule. Eight. The line of Nathan comes down to the Virgin Mary. The line of Nathan comes down to the Virgin Mary. The line of Solomon comes down to Joseph. Nine. From these two sons come the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. From these two sons comes the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. His physical humanity through Mary, his legal line through Joseph. From these two sons comes the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, his physical humanity through Mary, his legal line through Joseph. 10. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of the seed of David. He was born of the seed of David. Turn over to Matthew 1:1. Matthew 1:1. I love it. Here, Matthew 1:1. Here's our Sunday class in Romans and our Tuesday class in Psalm 25 put together here in Matthew 1:1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, Psalm 25, the son of Abraham, Romans 4. He is the seed of David, he's the seed of Abraham. Turn over to Romans 1:3. Romans 1:3, concerning his son, Christ Jesus, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. So point 10, the Lord Jesus Christ was born of the seed of David. Matthew 1:1, Romans 1:3. 10, God is going to perpetuate the Davidic dynasty, culminating with the Lord Jesus Christ as the seed of David, returning at the second advent to rule planet Earth. So God is going to perpetuate the Davidic dynasty, culminating with the Lord Jesus Christ as the seed of David, returning at the second advent to rule the earth. So here are two great, great believers, Abraham and David. And the whole world will be blessed by association with these two great, great believers. And through these two, Abraham and David, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, who will return at the second advent and rule planet Earth in the millennium. And then we have the verb yarash. Yarash. Y-A-R-A-S-H. Yarash. One, yarash literally means to take possession of. It literally means to take possession of. Two, it came to mean inheriting, succeeding or inheriting. Three, with the noun eretz, which can be translated two different ways. It can be translated land, that's the near fulfillment with Solomon, or it can be translated the earth, that's the far fulfillment, emphasizing the Lord Jesus Christ as the seed of David, inheriting and taking possession of the earth at the second advent. So Yarash, used with the noun Eretz, can mean land, the near fulfillment with Solomon, or the earth, the far fulfillment, emphasizing the Lord Jesus Christ as the seed of David, inheriting and taking possession of the earth at the second advent. For it is emphasizing the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ as the seed of David. It is emphasizing the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ as the seed of David. So the noon file sounds like this. His soul will spend the night suffering for blessing that David is privileged to receive from the Absalom revolution and the Civil War, in prosperity and happiness. And his seed, the seed of David, will inherit, take possession of the land, Solomon, the near fulfillment, and the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the far fulfillment. Now that brings us to verse 14. And verse 14 is the psalmic file. The psalmic file. Looks like that. S-A-M-E-K. Psalmic. The psalmic is the 15th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The psalmic represents a prop or a fulcrum. This is very important. It represents a fulcrum. The Hebrew verb samak means to rest on or to support. So, by way of introduction to the psalmic file, one, the psalmic file is emphasizing the result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. The psalmic file is emphasizing the result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. You know what that means? You have in here a fulcrum. You have a fulcrum in here so that you can handle any adversity, any suffering, any pressure through the fulcrum of Bible doctrine in the heart. So point two, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart is the fulcrum that enables the winner believer to lift the heavy rocks of adversity and suffering for blessing. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart is the fulcrum that enables the winner believer to lift the heavy rocks of adversity and suffering for blessing. Three. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart develops virtue love. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart develops virtue love, which enables the winner believer to handle the greatest of adversity. Four, the psalmic file emphasizes category number two, fear of the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ. The psalmic file emphasizes category number two, fear of the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ, which enabled spiritually mature believer David to face and handle the Absalom revolution and civil war and do so magnificently. The psalmic file emphasizes category two, fear of the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ, which enabled spiritually mature believer David to face and handle the Absalom revolution and civil war magnificently. Five, occupation with Christ and sharing the happiness of God enables the winner believer to clear the hurdles of disaster testing, people testing, system testing, thought testing. Yeah, this is the only local church you're going to hear about hurdles and hurdling. And that's all I did for a long, long time. That was, athletics was always, well, as an unbeliever, athletics was my life. That was as an unbeliever. It was my life. Athletics was my God. I liked all kinds of athletics. You name it. I love football. I love basketball, track and field. Love all kinds of athletics. I don't really care for soccer, but that's my own personal thing. I played some soccer in college. And after I played it, I didn't care for it even more. But I wound up running hurdles in junior high school and high school. Got a track scholarship, a full scholarship that paid for my entire college education. And the only condition was that I was to run hurdles. And when I went to Wazoo, I had been just a baby believer. And then God took me. I thought I was going there to run hurdles. God brought me to Washington State to go to Bethany Bible Church and learn Bible doctrine. Learn Bible doctrine from a pastor, Ron Breckel, that the colonel told me down at a conference in Baraka at Houston, colonel told me, Ron Breckel's doing the best job of any pastor in the country. He said, you tell him that for me. I said, well, I will. And I thought I was going to Wazoo to run hurdles, and God brought me to Wazoo to learn Bible doctrine. So I did a lot of running hurdles. And then as I realized I had the gift of pastor-teacher and went to Dallas Seminary to graduate school, majored in Hebrew, minored in Greek, and I've been here for 44 years, I've discovered that hurdling has a lot by way of application to the spiritual life. And as you reach spiritual adulthood, God gives you hurdles to run. All you got to do is learn the proper technique, and that's God's problem-solving devices. You learn God's problem-solving devices, you'll learn how to clear all the hurdles of suffering for blessing. That's what suffering for blessing is. It's spiritual hurdling. So I get a kick out of it. Because I can't run the regular hurdles. Natalia comes down here. The pygmy that comes down here. Pastor, I say, you want a vitamin? Yes. You think you can beat me into my office? I just didn't want her to see how slow I am to get there. But I'm still hurdling. It's just they're spiritual hurdles. It's the same principle. You got to learn the right technique. You got to learn God's problem-solving devices. Then all you have to do is apply them. Clear the hurdle. And when you do, you glorify God. Doesn't get any better than that. That's what you get at the end of your life. If you have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you get to run hurdles near the end of your life. Suffering for blessing. Clear them and glorify God. How fantastic is that? So 5, occupation with Christ and sharing the happiness of God enables the winner believer to clear the hurdles of disaster testing, people testing, system testing, thought testing. And then we have a phrase in the King James that is not a very good translation. The secret of the Lord. Now the Lord doesn't have secrets that he's keeping from you. So that's really not a very good translation. But then you understand that those who translated the King James, a lot of them were unbelievers. So the secret of the Lord is not a secret. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. This is the noun soth plus the tetragrammaton plus the preposition lamath prefix to the cal infinitive construct of the verb yare with the third person singular masculine suffix. Ah, the word in the Hebrew is soth. S long O D. Soth. Now, soth is a very rare and special word in the Hebrew. One, first of all, it was used for a sofa or a couch. It was first of all used for a sofa or a couch. Two, then it was used for sitting together with friends. Sitting together, a circle of familiar friends. Third, then it was used for intimate friendship, intimate counsel with the Lord, familiar counsel and intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is Jesus Christ making himself at home, where? In your heart, in the heart of the winner believer. This is Jesus Christ making himself at home in the heart of the winner believer. And guess what? You get a title. When that happens, you receive a title. You're the friend of God. You're the friend of God. The greatest title that can ever be given to you. Friend of God. Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart. I you see, the Greek is just dun, 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 dun. Alpha, beta, gamma, you know. Science. Greek is science. Hebrew is artwork. Hebrew is a painting. And God the Holy Spirit is drawing a painting here. The painting is of the heart of the winner believer. And I've seen the painting, and the painting of my heart is, there's a fireplace. It doesn't, well, the fireplace goes all the time in my heart. Not in the desert, but anyway, in my heart. Fireplace is going, and there's some easy chairs there, recliners, and the Lord Jesus Christ is reclining in one of the easy chairs, and I'm reclining in the other one. And we're looking at the fireplace and carrying on this fantastic conversation. That's what the painting that you have here. Turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father. Now you don't have to kneel to pray. If I knelt before the Father, I'd never get up. But I pray a lot. When Debbie's driving me, I pray a lot. When I'm driving, she prays a lot. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. This is the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit in your inner being, in your heart, so that Christ may make himself at home in your heart. That's the best way to translate that word dwell. Christ may make himself at home in your heart. That's occupation with Jesus Christ. Through faith, metabolize doctrine in the heart. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in virtue love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is this love for Christ, occupation with Jesus Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So this is Jesus Christ making himself at home in the heart of the winner believer. 5. That's the Hebrew word, soth. 5. The believer who attains category 2, fear of the Lord, occupation with Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is sitting in the recliner in your heart before the fireplace, and he's counseling you from the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine in your heart. The believer who attains category 2, fear of the Lord, occupation with Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is sitting in the recliner in your heart in front of the fireplace, and he's counseling you from the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. And then we have the Tetragrammaton. This counsel is from the Lord. This counsel is from the Lord, the mind of Christ. Metabolize doctrine in your heart. He's made himself at home in your heart. You have the greatest title of all, the friend of God. The preposition lama means belongs to. Yahweh is used substantively as a noun and is correctly translated the ones who fear him. Third person singular masculine suffix, him, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The counsel of the Lord belongs to the ones who fear him, occupation with Jesus Christ. So, a couple of things and we'll stop this evening. 1, this is category 2, fear of the Lord, occupation with Christ. The counsel of the Lord belongs to the ones who fear him, occupation with Christ. This is category 2, fear of the Lord, occupation with Christ. 2, the Lord Jesus Christ makes himself at home in the winner believer's heart. Ephesians 3:17. The Lord Jesus Christ makes himself at home in the winner believer's heart. Ephesians 3:17. 3, the Lord Jesus Christ counsels the spiritually mature believer from the mind of Christ, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. The Lord Jesus Christ counsels the spiritually mature believer from the mind of Christ, maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. And therefore, 4, the winner believer's counsel is from the Lord. This is intimate friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He counsels you through the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. 5, the problem-solving devices of occupation with Christ and sharing the happiness of God counseled David in the midst of the Absalom revolution and civil war. The problem-solving devices of occupation with Christ and sharing the happiness of God counseled David in the midst of the Absalom revolution and civil war to do the right thing and glorify God. The counsel of the Lord belongs to the ones who fear him, That's the corrected translation. The counsel of the Lord belongs to the ones who fear Him. Occupation with Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.